Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. John chapter 4, Jesus is with his disciples and he's traveling to go to Galilee. And in verse number 4 of chapter 4, if you have a Bible, you can look down at it. If you have your phone with a Bible app, you can use that as well. Again, none of the scriptures will be on the screen until the end of the chapter, so follow along if you can. And if not, just listen well. John 4:4, it says, "And he must needs go through Samaria." Jesus was on his way to Galilee with his disciples, and the shortest route was to go through Samaria. But the Jewish people and the Samaritan people did not coexist very well. There was a lot of racism towards each other at that time. The Jewish people thought very low of the Samaritan people, and so they never really went around. They definitely wouldn't go through Samaria. They'd rather take the long scenic route to Galilee. But Jesus, he decided we're going to go through Samaria. Big deal. And that's very important. Verse number 4 says he must needs go through Samaria. Verses 5 and 6, he's there with his disciples and he comes to a well, and he's tired and weary from the journey. So the disciples walk away to go do something, and Jesus is there, and he, in verse 7, it says, a woman of Samaria, a Samaritan woman, remember, not only were there cultural and geographical issues between each other with the place and things like that, but also, unfortunately, back in those times as well, men thought very low of women in a lot of ways as well, a lot of disrespect. So not only was she Samaritan, but she was a woman, and she's there getting water from the well. In verse 7, Jesus says to this woman, he actually speaks to her, which again, very uncommon for a Jewish man to even speak to a Samaritan woman, and he says, "Give me to drink." Verse 8, his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy food. In verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritan," just like I've been saying. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." I'm going to preach a full message on this passage at a later time, so I don't want to belabor these passages. I'm pushing to the end. But long story short, over the next 15 verses, Jesus begins to just share his love with this woman and introduces himself as the Messiah. All the way down after he speaks to her and speaks to her. Verse number 25, he tells her things about herself that no one else would know. And he's just proving that he's the Messiah. Verse number 25, the woman says unto him, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things." Verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." In the Jewish culture, and especially in Israel at this time, these people had grown up hearing that one day the Messiah would come and save the people of Israel and rescue them. So they knew all about this. Probably from a child, this Samaritan woman had heard of the Messiah coming. So she says to Jesus, "We know the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he can tell us everything." And Jesus says, "That's me. I'm the Messiah." Verse 27, upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou?" or "Why talkest thou with her?" And now we get to verse 28, and you can put it up on the screen there. Verse 28, Jesus has just shown himself to this woman. "I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that can save you. I can give you living water. You'll never thirst again." And what does it say in verse 28? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and saith unto the men, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Is not this the Christ? A changed life from meeting Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. We'll jump in. Father God, we love you. We need you. Bless me as I share this message. And as I preach this message, please give me your grace. Give me your power. Spirit of God, speak through me. And for every heart in the room, every soul in the room, help them to listen with open ears, with an open heart, with a willing and submissive heart to what you'll have them do. We ask for all your grace and all your power this morning in this room. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I love being a dad. You hear me talk about it all the time in my sermons about how much I love being a dad. I have four boys of my own. I cannot believe that my oldest is going to be 14 coming up at the end of this month. It's crazy to think. We'll have a 14, 12, 10, and 8, and it's just wild. But as you're raising kids, and I feel like I have a little bit of experience now, you figure out, you know, what are some of those important lessons you're always trying to teach them. And I think if I asked on the room to parents, like, what is one of the lessons that you really focus on when they were young, we probably would all agree that one of the biggest lessons is sharing, especially if they're really only if they're siblings. If there's no siblings, who cares? You don't have to share with anybody. But you still got to teach it because they're in the school. But when you have siblings especially, you're always trying to teach them to share. Now, when they were young, obviously we have them very close in age, especially with Brady and Charlie. There's toys and it's about sharing. Now, I thought I'd be out of that phase, but now it's PS5 and it's Xbox and it's all that. And you realize the sharing journey and the sharing struggles never really go away no matter how old they get. You're always reminding them, you gotta share. Now, 5 years ago, May of 2020, Charlie had just turned 5, and I think that's the first photo. You can go to that one. Charlie had just turned 5. There he is. Little Charlie. Can't believe it was 5 years. We just turned 10 a few weeks ago. Charlie, 5 years old here, and which means Brady was only 3. It's crazy to think about that. Brady is 8, and he was 3 years old, and it was COVID. COVID had just kind of got, I almost said popular. COVID had just, it was trending worldwide at that time, unfortunately. So we didn't have a birthday party with friends. It was just our little family at that time in the morning. He's got little breakfast pancakes there. And so it was just me, Marissa, and the boys. We put up some decorations for him. We were going to sing Happy Birthday to him. And we recognized, as we were like celebrating Charlie, yeah, happy birthday, Charlie, you're 5, blah, 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 that Brady didn't look very happy. Can you go to the next picture? And we started to realize this, as we're singing happy birthday to Charlie, happy birthday to you, Brady is whispering happy birthday to me, happy birthday to me. And we said, oh, this kid doesn't want to share the spotlight at all. And I had just got the new camera for the church for our live stream. So that's why some of these pictures are a little bit more, well, now the iPhones can take pictures better than this. But at the time, these were our nice pictures. So I was trying to figure out how to use it with all the different things. So I said, Brady, you need to smile. We're celebrating your brother. You need to smile. Can you go to the next one? So there's Brady's attempt at a smile. All right. Is there one more photo or no? Yeah, there it is. That's the final product of the smile. Now, My wife reminded me this morning as I was telling her, I'm going to tell the story about Brady and show the pictures of him, you know, really happy to celebrate his brother Charlie's birthday. He did not want to share the spotlight. So we just got back from a quick trip, a little vacation. We haven't taken one in a while to Disney World with Marissa and the boys. And it was right around Charlie's birthday. So they gave Charlie at Disney, they'll give you little pins for little celebrations if you've ever been. And Charlie got a happy birthday pin, Disney happy birthday pin. And what they will do is all the cast members, wherever you go, the hotel, the resort, on the rides, at the stores, if they see, especially a kid with a pin, they will go out of their way to try to make your time matter. And happy birthday, you know, because I think his name was on it. So happy birthday, Charlie, how old are you? And it really special. So we went to the parks one day, and Charlie got happy birthday all day. Finally, at the end of the day, near the end of the day, Brady says to Marissa, he says, what is he saying? He said, all right, enough with the happy birthdays. Enough with the happy birthday pins, all right? I'm getting tired of it. And we said, Brady. He's like, I know, I'm happy too, but I mean, I've heard it all day long. So still 5 years later, we're realizing that it's tough. Sharing, it's tough. Even as adults, sometimes I know we struggle with sharing. But if there's one thing, my friend this morning, if there's one thing that we should never, never struggle to share, it's our faith. Amen. And that's the message today. I believe in sharing your faith. I believe in sharing your faith. The Samaritan woman experienced Jesus Christ. She met the Messiah, the one that she had heard about probably all growing up, and her parents probably taught her, one day Messiah is going to come and he's going to rescue us. He's going to rescue his people and we're going to be okay. She knew he was coming, and then she got to meet Jesus Christ. And he supernaturally told her things about herself that no one else would know at all. And she met him, and what did she do immediately? She went into town and said, come, see a man who told me all things that ever I did. This has got to be Jesus Christ. This has got to be the Messiah. It's got to be him. And today we're answering the question this morning. Today we're answering the question, why should I share my faith? Why is it important for me to share my faith? You can say this because I'm preaching the message this morning, and the message is, I believe in sharing your faith. I believe in sharing my faith. Why do you believe that, Pastor? Why do you believe it's important to share your faith? My life has been changed. God saved me as a young boy. Grew up in church. I don't know what it's like not to go to church. I grew up in it. And even though I grew up in church, I don't get to ride the coattails of my parents' faith. It's got to become my own faith. Some of you grew up going to church and you're just stepping back into it. Listen, you probably recognize that it doesn't matter how much your parents took you to church, you have got to make that faith your own. You've got to experience Jesus on your own for yourself. And by the way, so do your children. And so do my children. Why should I share my faith? After all that God has done for me. Yes, I can talk about the miracles, and I do, and I can talk about the answers to prayer that is given me. Yes, and I do that as well. But at the root of it all, the fact that I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God that made the choice to place my faith in Jesus and his gospel, that he died, that he was buried, that he rose again, and I'm trusting him with my life, I'm trusting him with my eternity, that faith. We sang it, until my faith has been made sight, I believe. Why do I need to share my faith? And a better question for us, why do you, Coastline, need to share your faith? Why is it important? Many people don't share their faith. Many people know the Lord Jesus Christ, have experienced his grace, have experienced and felt the love of God in their life, and yet choose not to talk about it. Choose to keep it to ourselves. Almost like you had the cure for the worst disease imaginable and kept it to yourself. And by the way, I've been there. Why don't we share our faith? Maybe it's fear of ridicule. Maybe it's fear of people making fun of you or judging you or feeling like you're being self-righteous. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's apathy for some of us. We've gotten to a point, we've gotten so used to being saved, having our eternity secure in Jesus Christ, and just going through life, living life, working our jobs, raising our families, fill in the blank, whatever. And we've gotten so accustomed to just kind of stumbling through life that to share our faith is way on a back burner. We don't even think about it. We're not choosing not to share our faith. I'm not telling anybody. But we just don't think about it. It's not a habit, I guess you could say. It's not something that you do often enough to where when you're not sharing your faith, like, I got to tell someone about Jesus. So many reasons why we may not. Maybe we've allowed ourselves to get so busy in our lives that we feel like we don't have the time to share our faith. I'm running from this to that to this. I've been there. I feel like I'm there right now sometimes. Driving back and forth. We live in Brewster and our kids go to the DY at district school. So every single day, I'm bringing them to school, 30 minutes, and after school's out, when they got three different departure times, I'm gone for another 2 hours in the afternoon just picking up kids from school. And then don't forget, we got baseball tonight. Oh, and don't forget, we got soccer all the way back in Yarmouth at the old townhouse park. Oh, and don't forget, we got golf, whatever it may be. We've gotten so busy that we don't feel we don't have time to share our faith. I don't know what your reason is, by the way, for not making a habit of sharing your faith, but you know what it is. Maybe it's simply just fear. You're nervous. You're introverted. But can I say this? No excuse. The ones I have, the ones you carry, are good enough. No excuse is good enough where the Lord will say, oh, now that's fine then. You're nervous? Oh, I get it. No problem then. You don't have to tell anybody. Oh, you're really busy with baseball practice? No problem then. Someone else will do it. No excuse is good enough. I believe in sharing your faith, and I want to give you three reasons why this morning. Number one is this. Why should I share my faith? Because it magnifies God. It magnifies God. It glorifies God. The scriptures say in John 15, Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Jesus, the Son of God, who was God, says, my Father is glorified. My Father is magnified when we bear fruit, when people get saved, when lives are changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he says, and that's how you're my disciples, by bearing fruit, by sharing your faith. When we share our faith, we make much of God. We make much, we magnify God. By the way, besides the fact that it glorifies him, sharing our faith is in obedience to God. We are commanded in the scriptures to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's a command. So yes, but guess what? Our obedience to God glorifies God. Our obedience to God, us saying, God, you've told me to do this, I'm going to do it, it magnifies, glorifies, and blesses the heart of God. It's not an option. It's not something that in the Christian life, when it comes to the list of things that we should do as a Christian, just, you know, second nature, I'm not saying we do them to be a good, but the things that the scriptures command us to do, that sharing our faith is the one with the asterisk that says optional. No. So shall ye be my disciples. Sharing our faith, sharing your faith, your story, your testimony, God's grace in your life for salvation, number one, yes, that he saved you. But even beyond, like I said, when you talk about God's grace and goodness in your life, it glorifies God. Can I say this morning? Unfortunately, in today's society, a lot of people have a big problem with God, don't they? They have a false perception of our holy and loving God. That he's just this mean, bully kid with a magnifying glass burning everybody up. Society and culture has a false view of God, don't they? But when we share our faith, what God has done, his love, his justice, his truth, we magnify God. Our testimonies, each one of us having a different testimony that looks so different. I love that about the gospel, that all of us have different stories, past, present, and we'll have different futures, but the grace of God reaches every one of us. And our testimonies point to his saving grace. They point to his power. They point to his mercy, those new morning mercies that have saved our lives. And us sharing our faith glorifies God. The woman at the well didn't magnify her past, but she said, come see a man. Yeah, he told me all the things that I did, but that's got to be the Messiah. That's him. Is our past part of our testimony? Yes, but it ain't the main thing.
Amen.
It ain't the main thing. My goodness, you've heard me share my testimony. Struggling through addictions, but you'll never hear me stop when I say, I struggle with this, this, and this. No, it's all about Jesus Christ saving me, rescuing me, rescuing my marriage, rescuing my family. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's the one. He's the story. He's my faith. It magnifies God. So ask yourself this morning, who am I lifting up with my words? When you share what Christ has done for you, not how you picked yourself up and kept walking, but how Jesus Christ lifted you up, put your feet on a solid rock, that firm foundation, it magnifies God. You're shining a spotlight on His glory when you talk about Jesus and what He's done for you. In each point this morning, I want to give you something to do with it. I don't want to just fill your mind with information, but I want to challenge you this morning, give you some specific steps. So if you have a bad memory, I would get a pen ready to write some things down, because this is important. Every sermon preached from the Word of God is vitally important. Today's sermon, I'm not saying it's more important, but I sure don't want you to forget it. I'll tell you someone who wants you to forget it, the one that doesn't want anybody to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the enemy, the devil, Satan himself, does not want you to do anything with this sermon, but let it come through, say, hey, that was a nice message, walk out and don't do a thing. So if you have a pen, if you have your phone, I want you to write something. I'm going to challenge you with some things this morning. This week especially, we're talking about magnifying God by sharing our faith. This week, at your workplace, with your friends at coffee, maybe with your family, maybe at the supermarket, find ways, look for ways, ask God to show you ways that you can turn ordinary conversations into opportunities to magnify the grace and goodness of God. This week, today, look for opportunities. Say, God, Spirit of God, speak to me. Give me opportunities to take everyday conversations and turn it towards you. Listen, I'm not asking you. This is not, sharing your faith doesn't look like you going into the warehouse or Hobby Lobby or the Stop and Shop you work at and standing up on the shelves and saying, let me tell you about hell and why all you are going there. That's not sharing your faith, guys. Listen, you can try that. Let me know how it works out for you. That's not sharing your faith. No, it's taking ordinary conversations. Because if God's a part of your life like we say He is, it won't be that hard to do. I want to recognize God's involvement in every area of my life. Here's the thing, He is involved in every area of my life, but we always don't recognize it. I want, as a Christian, as a child of God, as a growing disciple of Christ, I want to recognize God's involvement, God's hand in every area of my life. So that when I'm having a conversation with someone that doesn't know Jesus, when I'm having a conversation with a friend who is going through a hard time, it's not hard for me to turn that conversation towards God and towards Jesus Christ. Pray daily for an opportunity. Here's some things to write down. Pray daily for an opportunity. Wake up, say, God, give me a time. Give me a situation today to talk about you. Give me a conversation today, an opportunity today to praise your name in my life. I'm telling you, He'll answer that prayer. Now, you might get to that moment that He's given you and you're like, ooh, I didn't know He was going to answer it today. Oh, you want me to say something to the Dunkin' Donuts lady? Come on. How about someone I'm comfortable around? Just follow the Holy Spirit's leading. You never know what He'll do. You never know what He'll do. Pray daily for an opportunity. Praise God publicly. When somebody asks about your weekend or you know, what's going on, praise God. I remember I worked at a fertilizer company in Hatfield, Massachusetts for before I moved to Michigan as a youth pastor. I was just a 21-year-old newly married guy, and I was in charge of the children's ministry at my home church in Holyoke, and we had a bus ministry. We had a couple buses. We would drive into downtown Holyoke, into the roughest part, and we'd gather hundreds of kids onto these buses and bring them to church, and I'd sing crazy songs, and we'd give them snacks, and I'd give them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I loved doing it. One day we had McDouble Sundays. If we have 100 kids in the buses, I'm getting everybody McDouble. No, I wasn't buying it, but the church was going to. And I said, we're getting everybody McDouble. And we had 100 kids on the buses, and everybody got a McDouble. It was great. And I went to work, and hey, it was your weekend, man. These guys talking about partying, going out, drinking, having fun. I said, we had 100 kids on the buses for church. And they're like, cool, man, that's great. A couple of them, their kids went to church from some of those areas. Find ways, praise him publicly, mention him naturally in conversation. If he's a part of your life, you can, listen, you're allowed to say, man, God's been good in my life. Man, God really blessed me this week. You say, well, I don't know if they believe in God. Who really cares? Do you believe in God? You're allowed to talk about him. You're allowed to. I'm not saying, like I said, I'm not saying getting up in front of everybody and preaching to your, you know, all the CNAs. And I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about just naturally in conversation talking about God. And then also, this is a simple, practical one, but pray daily, praise God publicly, and prepare your testimony. Know what you're going to say. Know your story. See, we know it if we think about it, but oftentimes when, like, we just have something in your heart ready to say. If someone says, I want to hear about you, I mean, be ready. Prepare something. When we share our faith, it magnifies God. It makes much of God. And also, number two, it ministers to others. John 4:39, after this woman went into town, the Samaritan woman, and said, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Verse 39 says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Pretty clear cut right there. Many believed on Jesus. Why? Because of the Samaritan woman talking about what Jesus did for her. Sharing your faith. My goodness, church. Sharing your faith. Yes, it magnifies God. Hallelujah. But it ministers to others. Her testimony wasn't that elaborate. It had just happened. She had gone to the well to get water. She met a guy. Found out that it was the Messiah who told her all these things. That was the extent of it. Her testimony wasn't elaborate. It was simple and it was real, and God used it to change lives. You say, well, I don't have a crazy testimony. I heard a guy once talk about how he got saved here and there, and he came out of a drug life and all that. And we can look around and be like, my testimony is boring. If Jesus Christ saved you, that's a testimony. You're looking at a guy that grew up in church and Christian schools. Didn't have much of a hard life. Okay? Great parents that raised me well. Met my wife in youth group. Went to all the camps. But guess what? Jesus still changed my life. I don't care how simple or boring you think your testimony is, God can and will use it to change the lives of the people in your life that I'll never reach, that I may never meet. Sharing our faith ministers to others. When you share your faith, when you share what God has done, you are ministering hope to people. You are ministering healing to people. You're giving them what they need, whether they realize they need it or not. And ultimately, oftentimes, when we share our faith in the salvation that Christ has given us, we're giving them not just the hope of a better day, but the hope of eternal life found only in Jesus Christ and his gospel. Have you ever had the opportunity to share Jesus Christ with someone who then, right there in front of you, placed their faith in Christ and got saved? I have. And I'm telling you, man, it feels good. See, I could never do that. Yes, you could. But I'm just, yes, you could. In fact, not only can you, but you should, because it's a command. We're commanded to share our faith. Yes, sometimes it takes time. I wish I could say every single person I talked to and shared the gospel of Christ with and opened up a Bible and say, hey, here's how you can get saved and know Jesus and give your heart to him, that every single one said, I'm ready to do that. Many of them weren't ready and they didn't want to, and that's okay. Well, I say it's okay as in it's not okay. They should, but if they're not ready, I'm not going to force them. I know I grew up in churches where sometimes that was what you were almost like a salesman. If I can get them to say the right thing, they're going to get saved. I don't want to be that way. As a younger man, I was that way. How can I get this person to pray a prayer of salvation? Then I can mark it on my list. I got another one. No. I want it to be real. I want it to be real. Sometimes it does take time, but to be able to sit with someone that is ready, and you say, man, I say, man, this is what God did in my life. And they're looking for something. And they're ready. And they say, I want what you have. And I say, man, you can meet him right now. God loves you. He wants to save your soul. And they say, I want to do that right now. I'm telling you, church, a beautiful, one of the best feelings in the world. God can use you to do that. You're ministering hope, healing, eternal life. God often uses ordinary conversations for extraordinary purposes. You never know what God can do in your day, in your week, at your workplace. But you have to be willing to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Your story, your faith can minister to others. Ask God. We've talked about praying. Ask God every morning. Can we ask about praying for an opportunity? Add this to your prayer. Ask God every morning to open your eyes to someone in need of that faith that you carry. Every single one of us, no matter what you do with your day, we're going to come across someone who needs Jesus. And who knows they need Jesus. So why don't you wake up tomorrow morning and say, God, lead me to someone searching for you. Lead me to someone searching for you. Lead me to someone that needs you, that is looking for something right now. Ask God to do it. Here's some of those steps for you that I want you to write down. This is a very practical one. It's important. Talk about ministering to others. Why don't you do this? Make a list of three names. Think of right now. Write them down. Three names. Three people in your life that you can reach out to, that you can share your faith with, that you can minister to. Say, God, lead people in my heart. We're going to take time at the end to pray and ask God to lead us and pray for those people. But write them down. Start praying for them by name daily. God, help me to reach so-and-so. God, give me an opportunity to talk to so-and-so. I know they're struggling with this. I know they're going through a divorce. I know they're, whatever it may be, you know your friends and things like that. Say, God, give me an opportunity to share my faith and share your goodness with them. Write three names down. Start a spiritual conversation. Okay, perfect. I meant to grab some. Man, we got all those invitations right by the door. Talk about sharing your faith. The easiest way you can share your faith and you can start making habits of sharing your faith is by grabbing some of those church invitations where the gospel is all in the back there and just find people to give them to. Say, well, I don't like talking to people. You don't even have to. You can just run up, give it to them, and then run away if you want to. I don't care. Start small, okay? But listen, a perfect opportunity to share your faith by grabbing some of those church invitations and passing them out. You never know what it can do. You never know what it can do. He's not here today. He must be having something going on, maybe grace and sick, but I talk about Dan Holt, who got baptized this last year, last summer. Been coming to church the last 3 years. And God crossed our paths at a little park 3 years ago. He was going through a lot, had faced a lot of trials. And I'm telling you, to be honest, and I told him this, I didn't really want to go talk to him. He was in a bad mood. It was very noticeable. And because he was stressed, he's trying to find work. He'd been through some intense trials that I know about now. I didn't know about then. I'd never met him. And I said, man, and the Lord was pushing me. And you know what? I went and talked to him. I prayed with him. And before I left a track on his driver's side seat at the car. It was just the two of us at the park with our kids. And I left, like, I think I had $13 to my name at the time, my wallet. And I said, hey, grab some lunch for you and your son. God bless you. And he showed up a few weeks later and has been coming ever since. And God's changed his life and working in Grayson's life. And it all wasn't, it's not me, it's God. But I'm glad that I listened to God say, why don't you go talk to him, give him a, invite him to church. Praise God, sure, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Some of you are here today, some of you are here this morning in church because somebody invited you. Because someone said, I want you to come here. I'm here today because someone in my parents' life reached out to them with the gospel. You see what I'm getting at? It changes lives. Sharing your faith changes lives. And it not only changes the lives of others, but lastly, sharing your faith matures your faith. Sure, it changes the lives of other people, but sharing your faith changes your life too. It changes your life too. Acts 4:31 says this, and they spake the word of God with boldness. The more you share your faith, listen to this, the more you share your faith, the stronger you become. The bolder you become. The more you share your faith, faith grows with use. It's like a muscle that strengthens. And I'll say this, when you get out of the habit of sharing your faith, it becomes a lot harder to get back into it because you've gotten out of the habit. But when you decide to share your faith, and you make it a consistent part of your life, I'm going to tell people about Jesus. I'm going to talk about God's goodness. I'm going to talk about what he's done in my life. That muscle, that spiritual muscle is strengthened. And it becomes easier to share your faith. The woman at the well didn't wait until she was this seasoned Christian to share her faith. Or more mature in her faith. No. The second she met Jesus Christ, she ran into town and said, you got to come see this guy that told me all these things about myself. This is the Christ. She didn't wait. It matures your faith. Each step of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ builds confidence as a Christian, builds confidence as a disciple of Christ. If you want to grow in boldness, start by stepping out in faith, even if it's small. Even if it is, listen, I make a joke about it, but even if it is, just grabbing a few gospel tracts and passing them out this week. At the Dunkin' Donuts, at Stop and Shop, as you're walking down the road, I don't know. Even if it's small, you got to start somewhere. Many of us will say, well, I'll never get to that point, so I just won't even do it at all. Quit with that thinking. You have to start somewhere. Every single one of us, all of us, we are commanded to share our faith. So start somewhere. Start small, but start sharing your faith. And listen, like I said earlier, every time you do it, the first time you get ready to finally get the courage to pass out a tract, maybe that's where you'll start. Someone may say, get that away from me. You can't expect every time to go that well. Believe you me, I've been there. I've had doors slammed in my face. I've had people cuss me out. I know it. But I'm saying this right now. You got to celebrate every attempt to share your faith. Is a step of obedience to God, and rest in that. Rest in the fact that you obeyed God, you did your best to magnify God and magnify Christ, and what that person, the recipient, did with it, whether they accepted it or shoved it back in your face, say, God, I'm just trying to obey you. Give me grace and courage for the next time. You've got to start somewhere. It will grow your faith as a Christian. The woman at the well did not have formal training. She just had an encounter with Jesus Christ. That's it. And lives were changed, and that was enough. I want to try something as we're closing this morning. Frank, can I borrow you? Thank you. So let's just pretend right now that everybody in this room None of us know each other, okay? And I'm the only one that knows Jesus and is saved, okay? So you're all lost right now, okay? And let's say I decide one day as a Christian that I'm going to share my faith. I want to obey God. I want to magnify him, and I want to share my faith. So I share my faith with Fran, and Fran accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior. Praise the Lord, right? Amen for Fran getting saved. Praise God, brother. So Fran is all fired up. And you know what? There was this lady that he met at the supermarket that he thought was cute. So he decides, come on, walk with me. He decides to share his faith with her. Oh, don't kick the coffee over, okay? And he shares his faith with what's your name, ma'am?
Donna.
Donna, get saved. Stand up, Donna. Okay? Donna, do you mind walking around with us for just a moment? We won't knock the clock.
My bare feet.
Your bare foot. This is holy ground, okay? All right. So he reaches Donna, and now Donna's saved. So follow me, guys. So here's our little team. But listen, not only is Fran excited, but Donna's fired up too. So let's find someone. So Donna finds Miss Louise. Miss Louise, do you mind? Okay? And guess what? Louise is saved now. Praise God for Louise. Now, Fran's still excited, by the way. He didn't get over it. And so am I as well. So Moses, come here. So I reached Moses. Come on, Moses. Okay? Moses, and then Justin. Come here, Justin. Fran reached Justin. So now, come on, follow me, guys. We're all, you see what's going on here? Come on, this way. Anywhere you go. Okay? So I decided to share my faith. Follow me. You behind me? Come on. Catch up. And then Moses is fired up now. He got saved. So Moses says, you know what? I'm so fired up, I'm going to reach two. So he talks to Alex. He talks to Connor. And they come as well. I said, you know what? My father-in-law is a wicked, wicked man. I'm going to reach him too. Come on, Fred. Come on, Pop. And then, do you see, guys? It's multiple. It's not addition. It's not me just saying, I'm going to reach. It's reaching people. See, Louise grabbed one on her own without me even saying it. Praise God. That's what I'm talking about. And do you see what happens, my friends? Do you see what happens when one person decides to share their faith and all the lives that are reached, all the lives that are changed? That's what it's about. Can we give our volunteers that didn't ask to be volunteers a hand? You may be seated, guys. It's all about sharing our faith. It's all about reaching others. It's just about talking about the goodness of God in your life. That's what Coastline, I really feel, is built upon. That's what I try. It's just what God's done for me, for Donald Savini, for your pastor. Yes, he saved my soul. He rescued me from myself. He delivered me. And I just want to tell people about it, you know? I just want to tell people about what God's done for me. And guess what? By his grace, I've seen him use that story of grace in the lives of others. My wife has seen God use her story in the lives of others. And some of you have seen that as well. We must be sharing our faith. Why? Because it magnifies God. It ministers to others. And it matures your faith. Listen, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be willing. You don't have to have it all together. Because none of us do. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be willing. God will use your life. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.